Well, we greet you tonight. I'm here tonight with my lovely bride, Toni. We are fresh back from our honeymoon. Amen. Baby, stand up. Let everybody get a good look at you. Let me just embarrass you all the way. We've had such a wonderful, amazing time. We've been married 2 weeks and a day and 2 days, I guess, 2 weeks and 2 days. And oh man, it's just been a dream come true. Pastor married us here at the chapel, what a great service it was. And then shortly after, we zipped home to get changed because we had to get to the airport. We were going on a cruise, and we zipped home to get changed to get to the airport, and I got a text from Royal Caribbean. That's the cruise line we were going on, and Royal Caribbean texted me and said, "We regret to inform you, we're going to have to cancel the entire cruise. There's such cases of COVID that had broken out, I guess, among their staff on the ship. They couldn't sail the boat, and so they had to cancel the cruise." And I told Toni, when I showed her that text, I told her what the Lord had told me that just that morning. And early that morning, I didn't know why the Lord, he woke me up and spoke some things to me, and I didn't know why he said that. I thought it was for a future sermon or something. I wrote it down thinking, well, I'll use that later when I get back. Father, I'll use that, you know. I didn't know I was going to need it that same day, you know. but you know, the Lord told me, one of the things he told me, and when I was reading the word, and he spoke three things to me at 3 o'clock in the morning before I got married. And one of them was, don't be offended. Don't let anything get you offended. And the Lord spoke to my heart, when we get offended, we want to blame somebody. When we get offended, we start looking for somebody to blame. You get a husband offended, he'll start looking for his wife to blame. Get a wife offended, she'll start looking for a husband to blame. Get somebody offended, I'll tell you, they'll people will blame, people will look at God and start blaming God or start blaming others. Either people or God are going to get the blame somehow when we get offended. And so the Lord reminded me, don't get offended. Don't blame anyone. And I shared with my bride, hey, let's not be upset. Let's not blame Royal Caribbean. Let's thank God. We could be on a boat and we don't know what could happen, what could break out on that boat. And so thank God they had the wherewithal to cancel it. Let's not get offended. There's nobody to blame. And then the Lord told me, hey, not only don't get offended, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. And see, after it happened, after they canceled the cruise, and I could see it so clear, I'd written that down as a point, but after they canceled the cruise, the Lord told me that cruise wasn't the main thing. Your marriage, you're celebrating your wedding. You're not celebrating the cruise, you're celebrating your wedding. So celebrate your wedding and don't get distracted on what you're celebrating. And then the third point the Lord gave me that morning, 3 a.m., don't stay disappointed. Don't stay disappointed. I thought that was for a sermon. I didn't think it was for me, and I was going to use it the same day. Don't stay disappointed. Because if you stay disappointed, you'll stop receiving from God. I said, I wish I had a better amen than that. When we get disappointed, you watch, when you get disappointed, your faith will stop working. It'll slowly grind to a halt. And you cannot afford to stay disappointed. Things in life happen. And sometimes we get disappointed. And sometimes we go through things and there are disappointments. The Bible says we grieve, and you know, but not like those who don't have any hope. We as believers, we have an inheritance, a blessed hope. Life is different for us. Expectations are higher for us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there are higher expectations for you. You can't stay disappointed. Maybe somebody hurt you or something didn't turn out the way you planned. But do not stay disappointed. Don't stay disappointed. And then after the Lord gave me that point, he told me this. Because all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so I shared those points with my bride, and I got my guitar out, and we just worshiped God. Just the joy and peace of Christ came upon us, and we said, Lord, what shall we do? We had tickets to Miami, and so we said, hey, let's go. And we boarded a plane to Miami. I rented a car, and then we went to the Florida Keys, and we had a time in the Florida Keys. Beachfront property, and we just had a great time down there with all the sights and sounds, and it was just great weather, and we had so much seafood. I don't want to eat seafood for about 6 months. I had so much fresh seafood that, you know, it was so good. And then we were there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. And then we came up to Miami Beach, rented up a hotel right on the beach. Yeah. You know, we got on the plane headed to Miami. I guess I had a Royal Caribbean tag on my bag or something. And the flight attendant said, going on a cruise. And said, well, we're going to Miami, going to the Florida Keys now. And they said, oh, how come you're not going? I said, oh, they had to cancel the cruise. I said, oh, really? I said, so what, you guys celebrate? Yeah, we just got married. I said, oh. And then before the plane could take off, she announced to the whole plane, hey, we got some newlyweds on board this plane. And they all applauded for us. And then she said, Mr. and Mrs. Ray, get out of your seat and come up here to first class. Yeah. We had a great time. We got to the hotel and they said, you know, Mr. Ray, you know, you've been a long time rewards member with the Hyatt with us for a long time. And they said, you know, we know you have a 1-bedroom suite reserved. We're just going to upgrade you to a 2-bedroom suite. They said, be all right if we upgrade you to a 2-bedroom suite. I said, that'd be all right. So we had more bedrooms than we needed, you know, more room than we needed. But it was great. And we got to the resort and they gave us a beachfront property with the balcony where we could see the beach. And then, oh, man, we just got blessed all week long. We had an amazing time. Tony, stand up one more time. Let him see. Let me embarrass you one more time. The fine girl is my wife. That's my wife right there. So we had a great time and we're overflowing with thanksgiving to God. And we had great quiet times while we were there in the morning. I rise early and that girl rose up with me. And 4 a.m. we were having our prayer time every morning. And she was right there. I was trying not to wake her up. She'd get up and I said, oh, baby, I don't want to wake you. She said, no, I came to worship with you. And we had a great, great time. So we're glad to be back and we're thankful to the Lord. So, all right, you have your Bible. Let's go to 2 Peter now. 2 Peter. Praise God. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5. We're going down to verse 13. 2 Peter. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're starting at verse 5. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities, listen now, is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Verse 12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. And even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Let your eyes slip over to chapter 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. You know, over and over again in the mighty word of God, God instructs us to remind ourselves of the things that he has done for us. We have to, reminders and admonitions from the word are so very, very important. So tonight, I came to obey the Lord and I came to remind you of a few things. Is that all right? So often in the body of Christ, we say, well, give me something new. I want to rejoice and give me some new revelation. Give me something new. I want something new. God told me to come and remind you of something that's fresh, something that's hot, something that's pertinent to you. But it's not new. And if you and I are going to be successful in the body of Christ, we have to be able to remind ourselves. And one of the things we need to remind ourselves of is what God's already done. So often in the body of Christ, we can get like the world. In the world culture, it's just gimme, 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 gimme. Wait a minute. What has God already done for you? You know, we are to go to God. We are to use the name and the blood and the word and our authority and all our redemptive realities. And we are to receive from God exceeding. He has given us exceeding great precious promises. 2 Peter 1:4. But every now and then we ought to slow down enough to go into the Father's presence and say, I don't want anything right now. I just want to come and thank you for what you've already done. I can't get an amen teaching like that, can I? You know, even my sons, my grandsons, when they come to me and say, Dad or Papa, I want to thank you for the gift you gave me, or I want to thank you for, and it's something that I already did. Man, don't it make you feel good? Father God is that same way when we come into his presence and say, thank you, Lord. There's so many things you've already done. Before I ask you for another thing, I want to thank you for what you've already done. I'm trying to get an amen. I said, God has been good to you. Can I say that? Can I get that right? If God has been good to you, say amen. Yeah, you know he's been so good to you. God, in fact, he's done so many things for you. He's done things for you that you could not do for yourself. Am I right about that? God done things for you. He has opened doors for you that no man on this planet could open that door. But you know that God himself, your God, your heavenly Father, opened that door for you. Yes, he did. God has done things for you that no person, no other person in this planet could do. Yeah. And first of all, you know, he saved you from a devil's hell. I said that ought to bring you joy. When as believers, we lose our joy at hearing about salvation and what Christ has already done, if that doesn't spark joy in you, something's wrong. Because our joy as believers should never get old. What Christ has done, what Christ has accomplished, his victory for us and in our behalf should never get old. And over in Isaiah 12, verse 3, the Bible says we will draw water with joy from the well of salvation. I said, if you don't have joy, you're drawing out the wrong well. But from the well of salvation, there's joy in that well. How many of you can remember what your life was like before Christ saved you? Two people can remember what their life was like before Christ saved them. How many remember what Christ did for you? What your life was like? You were miserable. You were a mess on top of a mess. But he saved you. I said the enemy was in charge. The enemy was running and ruling your life. But Christ came. That day came and he saved you. And the Lord sent me here tonight to remind you of his goodness to you. To remind you and I that he's already been good. Yes, now we know he's good out into the future. He's good. He's good out into our future. The Lord has already counted every hair on our head. We don't know how many hairs we have. The Lord has already counted Psalm 139. He's already counted every step we've taken today. We haven't finished our steps. We don't know, even with the help of watches and sophisticated tools and aids, we don't know how many steps we'll take by the end of the day. But God knows. And I tell you, the Lord, he is the blesser of our souls. And he wants us to find joy in what he has already done. And so Peter wrote, I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder and remind you of some things that God has done in our lives. And I tell you, I'm just so glad to be saved tonight. I'm so glad to be born again. I remember what my life was full of worry. Oh, before I met Jesus, my life was so full of worry. And I worried about my family. I worried about my sweet mama. I worried about my dad. I worried about my sisters. I worried about my future. I worried about everything. Oh, and when I got born again, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, one of the first things I'm going to do in your life is I'm going to transform your life in this area. And I'm going to replace all that worry with my peace. Yeah. I said, God is an awesome God. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, man, it's good to remember. How many are glad to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man. How many are glad the Lord has healed you? He's healed you. Let me see your hands. The Lord has healed you in some area of your life, and you remember what it was like before you got healed. Oh, we serve a mighty good God. How many of you glad you remember what it was like when you didn't have a job? Anybody here like that? You needed a job, and you said, Lord, I've got to have a job. I need a job. And the Lord blessed you with a job. Yeah. I said, he's a mighty good God. And he's been mighty good to you and I, and he is worthy of our praise. 2 Timothy chapter 2, at verse 8. The Bible says this: remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not in prison. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. Look down at verse 12. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14, remind them. There's that word again. Remind them of these things. Solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of its hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Again and again and again in the scriptures, we find the admonition, the encouragement to remind them, remind ourselves of what God has done. Here in chapter 2, one of the things Paul reminds Timothy is that life is not always easy. And sometimes every one of us go through hardships, difficulties. Sometimes we go through trying times, but I can tell you this, the Lord will either deliver us from a trying time or he'll deliver us through a trying time. But either way, he will bring you on through. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And sometimes we go through situations that were unexpected in life, and you might be facing a situation or a circumstance now. And Paul, he wrote to encourage Timothy. He said, I'm suffering hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. They've imprisoned me as a criminal. Paul was no criminal, of course. And he said, but I'm suffering hardship at the moment. But he knew that God was his constant deliverer. And the Lord sent me to remind you, if you're going through a hard time, he's your deliverer and he'll be whatever you call him. I said, he'll be whatever you believe him to be from the word. He'll be what you call him. And sometimes hardships come, and sometimes hard times come to us as believers. But the Bible says, even if a hard time comes, listen, then we are to maintain our joy. Christ has done so many things for you and I that if we will remind ourselves of what he's already done, our joy will remain constant. God never intended for our joy as believers to go up and down like a roller coaster. Our joy is not predicated upon our circumstance. I said, I wish a preacher could get an amen there. God expects us to have the maturity to grow into maturity and to maintain our joy. Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is your what? Is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the enemy, when he attacks or tries to discourage or something, he's a defeated foe. He's under our feet. Thank God Jesus defeated him. We just have to keep him under. Amen. And but the other thing is, don't let him steal your joy. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Some Christians can only have joy when they got a pocket full of money. Some Christians can only have joy when they look in their cupboards and the cupboards are all full. Some Christians can only have joy when they're living in a 6-bedroom house with a 4-car garage. They say, well, I'm here in my apartment, I ain't got no joy. But Lord, when you bless me with that 6-bedroom house and 4-car garage, I'm going to have joy. When I get there, oh, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have joy. Oh, I'm going to dance when I get there. I'm going to dance. You might as well save all that. Because if you can't have joy where you're at right now, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, if you can't have joy right now, you say, well, I'm not driving the kind of car I want to drive right now, brother. Well, you need to have joy in whatever you're driving. You need to thank God for whatever you're driving. Brother won't get an amen teaching like that. But I tell you, if you'll learn to maintain your joy no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us, rejoice always, always rejoice. I tell you, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul said, yes, we go through circumstances and trials sometimes, but we have to maintain our joy when we do. We have to maintain our joy. We have to maintain our joy. So let me say three things to you. By way of reminder, three things to you by way of reminder tonight that are critically important to you and I as believers by way of reminder. Number one, listen, we need to remind God of his word. I appreciate those two amens. But if we're going to be successful in our Christian life, we have got to continually, regularly, on a regular basis, remind God of his word. Look at Isaiah 43:26 with me. We're going to have to remind God of his word. God is bound to his word. He operates by his word. He has integrity regarding his word. Isaiah 43:26, God said, put me in remembrance. What's he mean? Remembrance of my word. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your case so that you may be proved right. What's God saying there? He's saying for you and I, put him in remembrance of his word. What is it you need from God? If you're going to receive from the Lord, you're going to have to remind yourself to put him in remembrance of his word. I wish a brother had a bigger amen. In Isaiah 55, he said, my word will not return void. It will accomplish every single purpose that I send it to. The Bible says this, heaven and earth may pass away, but not God's word. The Bible says this, his word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is living. God's word is not any ordinary book, some dead book. God's word is full of life. God's word is full of the anointing. There is no book in the world on the planet like God's word, and he has bound himself to his word. 2 Peter 1:4 said, there have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. So God has given us his word. He's bound to his word. He said, look, put me in remembrance of my word. What do you need from the Lord? If you're going to receive, you're going to have to remind God of his word. Remind yourself of God's goodness. Remind yourself of God's faithfulness. And let me say this, especially when something goes wrong. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Especially when something goes wrong in our life, when something doesn't work according to plan, you need to remind yourself that God is more faithful than at any point in your life. He is the faithful God. He said, put me in remembrance of my word. Let's argue. Argue your case before me. Bring my word. Jesus said this, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When Satan attacked Jesus in Matthew 4, the only thing Jesus responded with was what? The word. The word was in his mouth. The word. He didn't come up with nice philosophies, cute sayings. He wasn't trying to outmatch the devil with little cute little whimsical sayings. No, Jesus had the word coming out of his mouth. And if Jesus had the word coming out of his mouth, then that same word will work for you and I. Hey, we need the word in our mouth. And whatever you're facing, you're not going to get the victory over it unless you get God's word. Get his promise in your mouth, in your heart. Get his word. Put him in remembrance of his word. We're not going to be successful unless we remind God of his word. What do you need from the Lord? Remind him of his word. I dare you to remind him of his word. What do you need? You say, I need strength. You ought to remind him of his word. You say, Brother Bill, you know, that's all nice, but you don't understand. I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a struggle. I need help. You say, I feel fearful. You say, turn to Isaiah 43. You say, I feel fearful. I feel like I'm going under. I feel like the heat from this circumstance, I'm going to get burnt up. I'm going to get drowned in the midst of the circumstance I'm going through. And, oh, but if you would remind God of his word. If you would start by reminding God of his word, Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. You say, but I feel like it's the fire. I'm in the fire. I'm going through the fire. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. I feel like I'm going to get burned by the flame, nor will the flame burn you. I said, if you will remind God of his word, remind him of his word. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I'm with you. I dare you to remind God of his word. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remind God of his word. Secondly, and quickly, Listen, remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Brother won't get an amen teaching like that. I said, if you're going to get the victory, you're going to have to learn how to remind God of his word. Why? God honors his word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You're going to have to remind God of his word. Remind him of his word. You're going to get the victory. Remind him of his word. But secondly, remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. And of course, the Bible tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on Christ, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Going to get the victory? You're going to have to remind God of his word. You're going to have to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you and I than he that's in the world. I said, you better take time and remind yourself of that. That the greater one's on the inside of you. Sometimes we act like the weaker one's on the inside of us. No, the Bible says the greater one's on the inside. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You say, well, I got a big problem, but the greater one is on the inside. You say, I'm facing a big struggle, but the greater one is on the inside of you. You need to remind your problem. You remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Romans 8:27 says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31, we overwhelmingly conquer through Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. If we're going to be successful, we've got to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. And thirdly, we need to remind Satan of who he is. Remind him. 1 John 3:8, he's been defeated. He's been destroyed. Colossians 2:15, Jesus made a show of him openly. Revelation 1:17 and 18, Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him. Revelations 12:10 through 12, John said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What happened to him? He got cast down. Yeah. Luke 9:1, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to remind God of his word. We need to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. We need to remind Satan of who he is. He is a defeated foe. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet. Today, if you need something from the Lord, I tell you, that's a blueprint to victory right there. If you'll start reminding God of his word, oh, the victory will come. The victory will come to you. You'll start reminding yourself of who you are in Christ. You won't feel defeated. You'll feel the victory. You'll feel the champion, Jesus, rise up on the inside of you. And if you'll remind Satan of who he is, he's under your feet. He's a defeated foe. Jesus destroyed the power of the enemy, made a show of him openly. Satan is a defeated foe. And so we need to remind ourselves of a few things. And I tell you, and you remind yourself, you ought to just go home, just start saying, thank you, Lord. Just find something to be thankful for. Just thank him for something. If there was bread on your table, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. You put bread on my table. If you had a roof over your head, then you ought to thank him for that. You say, yeah, but there's a hole in my roof. There's a leak in my roof. Thank him that there's a roof over your head anywhere. Anyway, because the hole won't stay there. I said, if you start thanking him, he'll make a way and your roof will be fixed. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. You ought to thank him. You ought to thank him that you have a car to drive. You say, I got you there, preacher. I ain't got no car. I had to ride a bike. Thank him that you got a bike. You say, I got you there, preacher. I ain't even got a bike. Thank him that you got legs. You say, well, are you breathing? You ought to thank God that you breathing. I got you there. We all have so much to be thankful for. I said, we got so much to be thankful for. I said, God's blessed us with families, and those of you who are parents with your children and spouses. And oh, I tell you something we ought to thank God for, just being right here at Rhema. Being up under this word. Woo, being up under the power of the Holy Ghost that comes from this place. We ought to be thankful. Do you realize how many people would long, desire around the world? Millions of people around the world would trade places with you just like that. Yeah. And so we need to remind ourselves of all that God has already done, all that God is doing, because God's getting ready to do some explosive things. And as he does those things, we need to be ever mindful and ever grateful for what he's already done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for the power of your word, for your encouragement, your strength, for lifting us up. Oh, and Father, some here are going through struggles, some going through battles, some facing challenges, some facing situations. Oh, but if they'll do what you said tonight, remind you of your word, it won't be long, because the word will break every yoke. The word will provide the answer. The answer to every situation we face, it's in your word. Father, oh, thank you. Thank you. As we remind you of your word, as we remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, because of Jesus, you've made us champions. Because of Jesus, all things have been made new. Because of Jesus, we are destined to win. Because of Jesus, the victory is imminent. Because of Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. We've got to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. And then we have to remind Satan of who he is. He's a defeated foe with no authority over us, no right to trespass on us in any way, shape, or form, spirit, soul, or body. And so we need to remind him he's under our feet and keep him there. And so we thank you for the blueprint for victory tonight. We thank you for all that you've got in store. And we remind ourselves that you're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. You're a good, good provider. You're a good, good healer. You're a good, good strengthener. You're a good, good peace giver. You're a good, good door opener. You're a good, good job provider. You're a good, good father. Whatever we need, you are good, 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 good. And we thank you for it. Give you the glory. And so we trust you. We look to you. And we remind ourselves, renew our mind, oh Father, of all of our benefits and privileges in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you need something from the Lord tonight, our prayer team is coming, and they are coming down here. And you say, hey, I want to be saved. Hey, they will lead you in prayer for salvation. You need to be saved. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, come down here. Guys, come to the guys. Ladies, come to the ladies. They will lead you and the salvation prayer. You say, I need to get my life back on track with Christ. I need to repent, get my life back on track. Come on down here. They'll pray with you and you'll get restored in Jesus. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You want prayer for healing, or you want someone to believe God and agree with you? Come on down here, and these anointed men and women will pray with you. You won't leave like you came in Jesus' name. If you are here and you it was your first time, we had several people, it was their first time, right? We have a great gift for you, and we just want to thank you again for coming. Let's give them another big hand for being here tonight with us. We thank God for them. Don't forget, let's be praying for the Hagans this week, and you'd be right here Wednesday for Hour of Power. Pastor Tad, are we good? Pastor Zach, we're all good? So, all right. Well, then you are dismissed. We love you. God bless.